This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero says you might want to get frequent heart palpitations checked out, but don't freak out right away.
Everybody has skipped beats, whether it's the top or the bottom part of the heart. No one is regular 24/7. What they mean prognostically depends on the patient. A young, healthy patient with a normal heart has some skip beats, premature ventricular contractions that they feel. Significance, very little. Bothersome, we may try to help them out. A different patient that has had open heart surgery, has had heart attacks, their scar, those skip beats may carry a very different significance. They might be at risk for worse problems, and we have to evaluate that.
Learn more at DeborahHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
James just retweeted this, and I think this is worth repeating. No player in NBA history has averaged 20-plus points, 12-plus rebounds, and 5-plus assists in a season without making the All-Star game. Domantas Sabonis could be the first.
Could be. Like, there's a question. I mean, I don't know what the NBA is doing. Adam Silver made an egregious error here to snub Domantas Sabonis.
Hammer, and if I'm reading this right, the follow-up tweet, if I'm reading this right, there are two 19-12-5 seasons in league history without an All-Star selection. Domantas Sabonis last year and Domantas Sabonis this year.
Mm. Yeah.
Hammer, do you think that there is a possibility... Me and D'Lo have kind of floated this out there that Sabonis turned down the NBA's invite.
No, I can't imagine. I mean, he has a bonus tied to an All-Star appearance.
Oh, no, he ain't turning nothing down, man. There you go.
I mean, I think it's $1.25 million.
He ain't turning nothing down. Matter of fact, I'm here, guys. Do you want to pick me?
Well, not only that,
maybe he was napping again and he missed the call.
Yeah, I also think, you know, Domas, I mean, it's possible he's going on vacation, but for a guy with two young kids and it, you know, like not knowing if you're going to be going or not, I'm assuming he's just going to be hanging out in Napa at his other home, like right down the street from the All-Star game. So, yeah, I don't know. This is like there are no reasons to be a conspiracy theorist. This is just it just like snubs its nose in the face of anything that's logical ever. And I honestly believe that, you know, when the coaches named the reserves, that there was some consideration for Sacramento put in and what has happened here this season with the firing of Mike Brown. But at this point, how can you not replace Anthony Davis, another big man, with Domantas Sabonis? And to me, like, what are you going to do when half of your stars, including very likely Kyrie Irving, because we're only, you know, halfway through the season and he's already missed a handful of games, like half of your stars are not going to be on the All-NBA team because of your 65-game rule. Domantas Sabonis will be on the All-NBA team. How can he be a top 15 player in the league last year and I believe the year before? How can he be considered a top 15 player, but he's not good enough to be a top 24 player for the All-Star game? And that to me is just, it's an embarrassment for the league. Absolute embarrassment for the league. But hey, I think we just got the weekend off if you want it.
Well, you don't want to go to the All-Star game, James? You're credentialed.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Looks well, looks like it's all fallen onto one person's shoulders. Kenny Caraway is representing ESPN 1320 at the All-Star game.
Come on, 1320. Get on my back. I'll show you what shoes I was wearing Kenny. That day.
I'm not driving to San Francisco during this madhouse that's going to be this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a madhouse. It's going to be a madhouse.
But I did. I saw Oasis and Nico. I was like, hey, maybe I'll. Who am I kidding? I'm not doing that.
I'm the rookie of the group. I've never been to All-Star.
That's good.
All-Star
weekend, no, you should so go. Like,
I gotta
absolutely should experience it once.
Yeah.
You might love
it. I agree.
Yeah, you might love it. Like, but you should absolutely experience it once.
I also like the people watch.
Well, then you're going to have a blast. You are going to have a blast. If you can get into Kenny Smith's party, people watch outside that door is a blast. And, you'll have a good time. You'll have a good time. Hammer, it's over. It's a dub. What is your feeling about Saturday's game?
Oh, boy. I don't know. That was a weird one to cover. I mean, the only reason you had any opportunity to win that game, in all honesty, this is such a weird statement, is because Jake LaRavia came off the bench and gave your team a boost that you didn't expect and was so good in like a minute that the entire tenor of the building changed, the crowd changed, everything changed, and you were able to ride the wave and somehow come back. I thought DeMar DeRozan and Malik Monk just didn't come out to play at all. Mm-hmm. And that was stunning in the first quarter to watch them just like be totally ineffective. I think at half they combined for 1 point on 0-for-5 shooting, the two of them, and to have your team be anywhere in the vicinity and be able to come back and win a game to me was shocking. But I also think, you know, like what that showed you is what it looks like when you have a really good backup center, and what it shows you when you have a player who comes out and plays off your bench with a whole bunch of energy and heart like LaRavia did. And so I think the bigger question is, like, where were these guys a month ago? Where were they 2 months ago? But for right now, the additions made the bench an addition, not a subtraction for the first time in what felt like months.
It feels like that's kind of like what happens on a good team sometime. Like, your starters aren't always going to have it. What's the game we always talk about, or we've referenced a couple of times, that Kings-Memphis game where the Memphis bench outscored the starters. Mm-hmm. Those starters weren't ready to play. They didn't have it that day or whatever. But when you have a bench, and LaRavia ironically was on that bench as well, was part of that bench as well, sometimes that happens. Like you have situations where it's at least the start of the game isn't all on the starters playing at the super high level. They may not have it. You can go to your bench and they can pick you up and get you back into the game and get you into a position where you can still win a game. And that's one of the things that was missing with the bench, or the lack thereof, you know, before Saturday, you know, so to speak. So hopefully they don't have to deal with that all the time. But if it's 15-6 or 21-6 or whatever in the first 5 minutes, just, oh, well, this one's done. Like, these guys are going to have to play the rest of the game. These starters are going to have to play the rest of the game to get back into it because the bench isn't any good. Now you got a situation where you can get a little bit of spark off the bench to calm things down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you there, but this is too many times. Man, I don't, you know, like, a bench is supposed to be there to maintain and possibly improve your situation, not to save your butt. And to me, like you got to come out with more. And this has been a problem all season long with this team. And I think a lot of people wanted to point fingers at De'Aaron Fox for the reason why the Kings got off to slow starts all the time. But the issue hasn't changed. And so I'm glad they were able to recover, and because it's a lot more enjoyable to watch a game like that as opposed to like a 40-point blowout, which that looked like it was going to be early in the game. But like, look, the Kings don't have any wiggle room left. Like, they have to win games like this. They've got to win the game tonight against a team that's totally depleted. They've got to find a way to go into New Orleans and put on a show against a team they just beat the other night, but who seemingly has their number still and has the ability to just run them over when they want to. So this team has to figure out ways to not go down by 20 in the first half, because, you know, I say, what, 85-90% of the time you're going to lose that game. And so I hope that they learn something, but like, how many times do I have to hope that this team learns something and then watch them go out and do it again?
Why do you think that's happening? Why do you think they're struggling so much at the beginning of games?
I don't know. You know, it doesn't make a ton of sense, because it's not just like, at this point, it's not just one coach. It's not just one group of players. It's something that has like followed this team around, and they've got to figure out ways to do it. And, you know, I think it's interesting, even in this game where they came back and won, it wasn't until really like the third quarter that we saw the Domas and Malik Monk pick and roll game pick up. And all of a sudden, boom, 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 they score a whole bunch of points in a row. And I think personally that woke Monk up, like getting in the pick and roll game with Domas and just feeding the big man and having him go crazy. Like, there isn't a lot of rhyme or reason to what the Kings do. I mean, last couple of games, you know, Domas has barely shot the ball at all. They forgot about Keegan Murray for four or five games, and, you know, he didn't even get an opportunity. And then all of a sudden he's waking up. Like, the bumps and bruises of changing players midstream, especially star level players in your starting lineup, I mean, that is going to have like an impact. But at the same time, you know, the first game that they sort of ran out these guys, even if it was just LaVine, Doug Christie made such a major point in pregame. He's like, you know, everyone goes and plays pickup. There's like, you know, you're playing pickup and someone says, hey, I got to go home. And you're like, okay, who else can jump in? Like, these guys have played basketball like this their whole lives. And to go out there and act like you don't know how to play basketball because someone is different in a different position, it's kind of weird. I mean, there can be some mistakes and there can be some clunkiness, but there shouldn't just be a downright like failure to learn how to play basketball again. And so, yeah, this team, I mean, they're interesting, but they have an opportunity right here to make up some ground and make you forget about some of these bad losses early in the season, but you got to show up.
Yeah, I think one of the things I think is going on, could be going on, is, you know, these guys are trying to fit in, not fit out, as LeBron would say. They're trying to fit in. Zach trying to fit in. They're, you know, DeRozan trying to make sure Zach fits in, and Sabonis and all these other guys. Malik trying to conform into a point guard and all this other stuff. And, you know, and I appreciate all that, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Zach LaVine, we brought you here to score. Shoot the basketball. Be aggressive. Get after it. DeMar DeRozan, and I know maybe James and, you know, others see differently on this one. DeMar DeRozan, you're not here to be a table setter. Shoot the basketball. They had three shot attempts halfway through the third quarter. Shoot the rock. That's what you're here to do. Malik, yeah, I need you to be a little bit more of a point guard now with the guys out there, but don't forget that's what you're here to do as well. And I think a lot of the times in this past three games or so, the lack of aggression and the indecisiveness comes from, you know, trying to get a feel and not step on any toes and all this other stuff. And if I was Doug, I would talk to some of those guys and be like, this is why you're here. This is why you're in the league. I'll figure everything else out as far as setting the other guys up and making sure they're good and making sure we're on the same page. But Zach and DeMar specifically, like, do your job. Your job is to put the ball in the basket. And I want to see them be more aggressive with that moving forward.
Yeah, I get that too. I think I want to see them do their job, but within the confines of the offense. like Kings basketball, like this entire season, the last 3 years, at least it has like some basic tenets, and the players need to play within those tenets. And it's on them as basketball players to use their special skills within the offense, within the flow of what's happening. And that's something that I think Zach is quietly starting to figure out, is how does he fit in and you know, sort of play within the confines of this. But, you know, again, there are games when I think DeMar is absolutely spectacular, and other games where it's just too much. And so, like what you said, he just needs to hoist. I agree. Him taking one shot in the first half, I don't know, it almost feels intentional when that happens, because there are, you know, 15 other games or maybe 40 other games a season where you're like, okay, man, you weren't shy to take a shot that wasn't there before. And so I'm always like just watching it sort of play out and wondering what's going to happen, and seeing who steps up from one night to the next. And there is at least some consistency that happens, you know, typically, and we haven't seen that lately. And yeah, I mean, the fact that what are they, 3-6 over the last 9? That's to be expected. They've had a lot of like internal and external strife. But again, like if you want to be a playoff team, you got to push the noise out and go play. And, you know, again, if I'm Domantas Sabonis tonight, I'm motivated to, and if I'm his teammates, I'm motivated for him to go and put up 40 and 25 and 15 on this Dallas Mavericks team, mm-hmm. that somehow got an all-star when the Kings didn't. And so, yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at.
You feel like they can pull anything from that game on Saturday, given the fact, like, I think Doug even said, no, it's, you know, we got the job done. It's good, but it's not good enough. And you have the, you know, extreme lows of the just instant 20-point deficit, you know, the thrilling comeback, then the 18-point lead, and then you kind of lose the 18-point lead, and you scratch and claw to hang on to a victory. Is that one, like, can you draw from that, or is it just like, all right, we got it, now let's get right here versus Dallas coming up on Monday?
Yeah, I think you can learn something from it for sure. I think what I learned is that when you add, you know, Valanciunas and Laravia to that bench, all of a sudden the other players fit into their roles way better. Mm-hmm. And it exposed, once again, the glaring issues that this team had early in the season. But, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when Trey Lyles has to be your 6th or 7th best player, that's realistically not who Trey Lyles should be for your team or for anyone else. If he's your 7th, 8th, 9th, then you're a much better team. And I think Jonas stepping on the court instantly gave the Kings just like the 7th man on the rotation. And I think that makes Keon Ellis just a much better 6th man in your rotation. And then it allows, you know, again, Trey and Laravia to be like the 7th and 8th best players or 8th and 9th best players in your rotation. All of a sudden I saw a team that has 9 players that you feel comfortable running out there each and every night. And that's not something that I felt most of this season, where it just really felt like maybe they had 7. And if someone miraculously got hot, they might have an 8th. But for the most part, it was like 7th and guys way out of position as far as they should be in the rotation and what's asked of them in the rotation. And so I think they look a lot better out of nowhere. And I like Malik Monk playing with that second unit and really running those guys as opposed to that first unit, which is going to be, it's going to be difficult to get shots. And I get it, but you know, I feel bad for Keegan Murray, who is all of a sudden the 5th option without any question. And that's just a tough place to be in when you're expected to, you know, excel in your 3rd season.
Trista's in the chat reminding us she knew Devin Carter stunk.
She did. She did hit us to Devin Carter early on.
She said, something's off. Something don't feel right. Man, pause. She was right.
One of the things, though, with Keegan, though, and I guess it's a little easier for me to say without being in that situation, is like Keegan got a You got to adjust and be productive. Like, I look at him and I say he's had an opportunity over about two years for somebody to look at him and say, like, no, this is the guy that we're going to have as the second best scorer. We don't need to go to else. We can go get, you know, these ancillary guys, these role player guys. And he didn't do that. Like, he didn't do that. At the end of last year, I didn't look at Keegan Murray and say, I'm good with them not going to get another score because if something goes wrong, we got Keegan Murray here. Didn't feel that way. They needed more because when Malik went down and it was just De'Aaron and him, that wasn't enough and it wasn't versatile enough. So they went and they got some different scores. Now he's in a little bit of a different role and knock down your open jump shots. Get on the boards. Figure out a different thing. For me, it's not a poor Keegan situation. It's a, hey, your role has changed. Be excellent in your role. Like, I don't want to see him going 1-for-7 from beyond the arc. Like, you're getting wide open looks. Knock down the shots. Knock them down.
No, I mean, I get that. And I agree that he needs to be a better shooter and he needs to be a more consistent shooter. I'd also say, like, he's the one who's asked to play defense where, you know, the other four starters realistically don't have to do what he has to do. And, you know, so... I mean, he's got to be more consistent as a scorer. I can't believe, like, the crazy stat. He hasn't scored 20 points in a game since before Thanksgiving. And to me, that's just absolutely crazy. But, yeah, I mean, Keegan's, like, he's hit 19 a couple of times. But, I mean, he hasn't scored since, I think it's November 24th is the last time he scored 20 points in a game. And he's only done it, I think, two times all season where he scored 20. And I don't really think that was the plan coming in. It's just the way the season's played out. And certainly when you moved Malik Monk into the starting lineup, it just pushed Keegan further down on the, you know, who's getting fed. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to be consistent when you can go an entire half with one shot attempt. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he's passing up six shot attempts. He's just not getting the ball, not getting opportunities. And so I don't think he's been forcing things, but, you know, in those situations, you got to go get rebounds and you got to go try to score yourself. And even then, even when he does do that, I still don't feel like his teammates ever feed him and try to keep it going. So I think it's a little bit of everything. And I haven't lost faith in him as a player. But, you know, I think at some point, you know, the Kings, I mean, he's got to be wondering what their offer is going to look like this summer when it comes to an extension and whether he would even accept it, whether he just wants to play out another season and see how that goes and then go from there. Because, you know, the extension that he would get now versus the extension he would have got last summer is, I think, completely different.
I was just going to say one more thing about Keegan. The one thing that I would like to see the Kings do more, and nobody's done it, whether it was Mike or Doug or anything like that, is get him on the block a little bit more and work on his post game. I think he's a little bit too reliant, or that offense is too reliant as him being this stretch four or something like that. And this guy, he's about 6'9", 6'10". Certain situations, it's like they run that cross-screen action to get DeMar DeRozan the ball on the block or close to the block. Maybe they could do that a little bit more with Keegan Murray. It doesn't feel like that's ever going to happen, and there's probably a reason for that, but I think that would be another spot on the floor where they could try to get him involved. And you ain't got to do it for 20 times, but once or twice, two times a quarter, run that, you know, cross screen action, get him on the block, see what he can do. In Iowa, he was a guy that could work in the post. So, you know, he's got a little fadeaway game. He's tall enough to shoot over the top of smaller defenders. I would like to do that. But like I said, between Mike and Doug, nobody's done it yet, so it probably will never happen. But I wonder why they wouldn't incorporate that a little bit more.
Yeah, two things on that. Number one, don't look at his dad's Twitter account if you have that question, because he asks the same question, or he used to at least quite often. Number two, you're right. At Iowa, he was like in the 98th percentile of scores in the post in the NCAA during his junior season, whatever, sophomore year. Like, he can absolutely score in the post. Now, whether that translates at the next level is a whole other question, because, you know, at 6'8", it isn't nearly as easy to go in the post and score as it was at the college level. For me, I think he's aggressively attacked the rim all season long. He's dunked on plenty of people. He's dunked in traffic. He's showing me that he's a different player even than he was at the college level. And I would like to see him get more opportunities, whether it's off the bounce or whether you're featuring him as a post-up guy.
You think it seemed like a foregone conclusion that offer was a max offer coming this offseason. You think that's changed?
Oh, yeah.
You think it should change?
Yeah, I mean, you don't give a guy a max offer who's averaging 12 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sorry, man. I mean, who's shooting 33% from three or whatever it is. Like, I would be surprised. I mean, like, at this point, he's looking way closer to, like, Cam Johnson money than he is, you know, a max.
Hi, I'm Julia Brufke Wanger, founder of Phoenix Tax Consultants, home of the Tax Tacklers. It's tax season, and I genuinely understand the complications and frustrations that go into preparing to file. I believe that taxes should not be a do-it-yourself activity. You should leave it to the professionals. My team of next-level tax experts can help you find a new way to do your taxes and a strategy to get top results. Schedule your virtual or in-person appointment today at taxtacklers.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Still like a 21, 22. Like, I would be surprised if his offer wasn't like a 480 or a 485 at this point, 4 years, $85 million, as opposed to, you know, the full max, which is almost double that.
I think that's fair. I don't think he's a max player. I think
it felt like he was tracking towards one. That was my point. Like, yeah. I'm with both of you. It doesn't feel he's not, but we had him penciled in at the max contract not that long ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
just
I think
like we
last
did Marvin
season...
Bagley.
Oh no! Yeah. Well, I mean, like, look, realistically, last season, you know, he averaged 15 points and 5.5 rebounds, and he was on pace to be one of those guys. You know, he's shooting even at 36% from three, but. He's taken a huge step backwards, and I don't even know I mean, a lot of it, to be honest with you, it's just flat out situational. Like, you know, playing alongside DeMar DeRozan is not just super simple. And, you know, it's not. And being the fourth and then fifth man in the rotation, like if DeMar wasn't signed, and I'm not blaming Keegan Murray, whatever's happening, just on DeMar DeRozan. But if you don't sign DeMar and you went after a more defensive minded, you know, 3-and-D type at the three during this offseason, I do not think we would be feeling the same way we do about Keegan Murray that we do today. I think he would have built off the 15 points per game that he averaged last season and, you know, probably would have been closer to what we're talking about, that you know, max or $25 to $30 million a year player, not the $20 to $25 million a year player.
Kings basketball coming up about 2 hours from now. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the Sacramento Kings with our Kings insider from the Insiders. It's James Hamm with Dealing with KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. I think that's the easiest way to describe that part of the mall.
Why
Caraway section.
It's not even remotely close to being true. Stop. Like I said, people believe you.
Because they know it's facts. Jeez. Welcome, James Hamm, back. James, you have any thoughts on the Super Bowl before we get back to the Kings? That stunk. That's your boy, too. That's your man.
It is his boy.
That was rough, man.
It was just one of the worst Super Bowls to watch I've ever seen. I just, like, from start to finish, it was boring. And, like, I know, you know, hat tip to Philly for coming out and just pushing the Chiefs around. But I just thought Mahomes was horrible. And to watch him melt down. I'll tell you this, though. In all honesty, he really has not been very good in, like, a year and a half. And I watch almost every game he plays because, you know, we have him in our fantasy league. And they find ways to win despite what's happening there. And he makes mistakes late in games. He makes all kinds of mistakes where you're just watching a game that doesn't, you know, that isn't just like a clean, like super efficient game. And you put pressure on him and he just fell apart. I mean, the low passes, the not, you know, seeing the safety or the linebacker and throwing passes you had no business throwing. I just thought it was absolutely wild to watch one of the greatest ever done it just melt down in a big game and realistically be the reason why his team had no chance.
Yeah. All right, can we get to the real question? Or did you want to talk about the Super Bowl?
Oh, Jesus, we get to the real question.
Okay, this is because James doesn't care. He is completely out of the demographic. Mm. Were you entertained by the halftime show?
I mean, not really. And it's you know, I talked to Complex about this earlier because Complex wouldn't watch a football game. And then,
correct. That's correct.
So unless it was,
he won't watch a sporting event, to be clear. Like he won't watch a sporting event.
No, he won't watch a sporting event at all. But I think he would tune in for halftime of that game. Mm-hmm. And like, I thought, like, look, I get that he has a very specific audience that he's playing to. Kendrick was, and like the way he wanted to attack that was very specific. And, you know, Kyle like had a great time watching it and got it. But I don't know that that's what, like, it doesn't reach the masses like the Super Bowl does. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, and I'm not saying he has to play music that he doesn't feel comfortable with, or he has to only play his hits or stuff like that. But I do think that there is, like, when you are on that stage, you're playing for a larger audience. And, you know, I don't like country music either, and I wouldn't, like, sit there and choose to listen to a country artist. But, like, that was a very specific thing. And I just feel like there are ways that he could have been himself and had it reach, like touched, brought a few more people into the conversation. And again, if that's not what his idea was, that's okay. You know, I move on because I also thought it was really weird that we had to wait 15 minutes before, you know, the halftime performance started. And so it was like, by the time you got done with the first half, which was one of the worst first halves we've ever seen, and then this huge long buildup to when he came out on stage, it was like, okay, I was already bored. And then it was like, okay, well, I don't know the music at all, really. And so it just kind of, for me, it was, I'm sure it was spectacular for some people.
Me.
But for me, it just wasn't there.
I don't know if there's an artist alive who could do what some people are asking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson would be old for the younger generation. Be like, why are they putting her out here?
Well, no, but, yeah, but I think...
You think about... Like, oh, sorry, Janet. I was just going to say, you think about like the household. Like if you're in a household, maybe a number of different households would still, like, they'd be excited. They'd be, oh, know the song, sing the song. But mm-hmm. she may even be a reach. I don't know if there's an artist alive that crosses all the demographics.
No, but I think that, what was it, like 2 years ago, they had the hip-hop, was it 2 years?
Yeah, it was in L.A. Last year was Rihanna, so I think it was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And that was phenomenal. Off the charts good. And I think it crossed like every, like there was something in there for everybody. And it was like surprising and fun. And they kept bringing in new voices. And they told the story of like the entire hip hop, you know, like 40 years of it or whatever. And I thought that was really cool and engaging. And I think that there's some performers that just get up there and they either strike a chord or they don't. And, you know, to me, I just think that it was very specific with this one. And that's okay. I don't really care. It was like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it ends up being. And we move on to the next one. But, you know, it just wasn't like my favorite halftime. And that's okay.
I wonder who's going to do it next. I think we're running out of
San Francisco next year.
In the pouring rain. I wonder. I wonder how many... We're kind of running out of artists who we think is the idea type of person to perform on that stage without regurgitating people, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, who?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it won't be E-40.
Definitely won't be E-40. But we're talking Taylor. Is,
I mean, at some point, Taylor's going to do it. Yeah. I mean, maybe she doesn't, but.
Taylor is one. I mean, the one they should go to, but they probably never will. Although Grammy's made up with them. It should be Chris. I think Chris will put on maybe the greatest show since Mike Jackson.
Chris Brown?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think that's happening.
It might not. But no. I'm saying, Chris Brown, we always thought he'd never win a Grammy. And that happened. So I don't know.
Okay.
But they're going to have to start like going back into the people that they've already done before.
You might want to get The Weeknd in a non-COVID situation.
The Weeknd would be fire. Yeah, he did a good job.
Well, he did, but he was so limited with what he could do. Even though COVID didn't exist in the NFL, maybe we try that.
I see people in the chat saying Bruno Mars. This would be Bruno's fourth time, third time.
I think it is
in the last 15 years.
I think
it'd
be his third.
Yeah, Post Malone. People are saying Post Malone. Okay. You can't really do Journey because Steve Perry won't sing with him anymore, and so you're dealing with like the second replacement. Just because they're a San Francisco band,
Post Malone for today's audience could actually probably work.
Post Malone, I actually like him a lot more than others, and
by others he means me. He's referring directly to me. He likes him more than me,
and I think he's very talented. Mm-hmm. I think I'd have no interest in watching him during halftime.
Me neither.
And I like Post Malone.
You'd have to get all of his feature artists out
there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's all. Like, I just think that it could have been, I don't know, more upbeat. Like, there could have been, like, additional people and stuff like that. I don't know.
Squabble up, James.
He had a vision for it, and that vision was him. Like, that's why I think he did Man in the Garden. Like, he's like, you know, I think that there was a specific reason. He did that song, but yeah, I mean, he's the first hip hop solo act to do it. I loved it, but I knew it wasn't going to be for everybody, especially with that set list. It was definitely not going to, like, his catalog isn't going to go crazy after that set list. In all likelihood, GNX might, but maybe an interest in Kendrick Lamar will be there.
Someone said Travis. I think that would be pretty dope.
Well, Travis, because of the shows that he does, Travis, like, that could be nuts.
Travis would Dax would be pretty fire.
Yeah, and like, look, I wasn't like, oh, this is horrible. I just wasn't like fully drawn into it, like mm-hmm. sometimes you are with them. And I'd also say, like, I think there's something to, like, Sean Cunningham says this all the time, and I'm sure Sean loves it because Sean is a huge
Sean
music
is
guy,
the but, person we should ask who should be on the show.
But Sean always says that, you know, like, Twitter and social media isn't real. And people sure. who think that are really like overthinking everything, right? So I think like when you get to like the Twitter beef or the thing with Drake where they're going back and forth, like there are people that are fully into that. But then there are tens of millions of other people that are watching the Super Bowl that have no idea what the beef is with Drake and all that stuff. They just don't because they are not following it on social media. They're not watching the diss tracks. They have no idea what a diss track is, let alone watching to see what's going back and forth. And so I think by like being ultra specific with some of his stuff and aimed at one person, like I get it. You win. He won, right? He dropped the mic and like, okay, I won the battle because I just, you know, did what I did at the Super Bowl. But there's a lot of people who just don't understand that that was part of that. There's a whole thing going on there between those guys.
I saw a tweet and I didn't dive into the comments. I probably should have, but I thought this was pretty cool. The guy tweeted out, he says, look, I'm not even a middle-aged white guy. I'm an older white guy. Somebody explain this Drake Kendrick thing to me in World War II type of I think yeah. that was pretty funny.
No, I mean, I think, you know, good on him for doing what he wanted to do and reaching, you know, people he wanted to reach. As an artist, I think part of the Super Bowl, when you're put on that stage, is an opportunity to reach a whole new group of people that maybe have never heard of you or have no idea what you bring to the table. And that's where I think maybe there was like a slight misstep that, you know, if you want to bring some of your hits, more of your hits and stuff like that, to just like bring in more people, that would have been something. But
and
either
that's the thing with Kendrick is he's never sacrificed his artistry, right? His current album is the furthest stray from anything he's ever done in his career. So he's everything he's doing right now is almost uncharted territory for him. Like even the Super Bowl halftime show. Like,
who are my boys? Teen Spirit. Who's that? Who's that again?
Nirvana.
Yeah.
Nirvana.
No, Kurt Cobain has been dead for
decades. That's right. It is Kurt Cobain.
He's been dead since 93. Like
yeah. I think I was in middle school when he
that's
died.
That's right. That is Nirvana. Yeah.
You were going to school with WCW when Kurt Cobain died.
That's my song, man.
Okay. Yeah. No, it sounds like it.
The Foo Fighters, that's the Foo Fighters could do it. No, but again, if it was cool in Seattle, then it would make a lot more sense for them to bring out Pearl Jam and Foo Fighters and stuff like that. But even that's gonna go like over a lot of people's heads or just miss with a lot of people.
I'm just envisioning Jay-Z going, you know who would be great for this?
The Foo Fighters.
He does need to do it. Yeah, I don't think I don't think he would book himself for it.
I don't think so either. But
he absolutely should do it. Hammer, we've talked a lot, maybe too much, about the game on Saturday, but one thing that really, really stood out that Kenny and I spent most of the first part of today's show talking about is the job Doug Christie did and the tough decisions he had to make there, particularly late in the fourth quarter, where that game got maybe a little bit closer than anybody believes it should have been. And we saw Keon Ellis, you know, despite coming off the bench, he played 32 minutes in that game, played 18 minutes in the second half, played 11 minutes in the fourth quarter. We saw DeMar DeRozan sit some time out. We saw Malik Monk sit some time out there in that fourth quarter. But what do you think of the job that Doug did to ensure that his guys came away with a victory on Saturday?
Yeah, it's tough, right? Everyone wants Keon to play as many minutes as possible. I think Doug wants Keon to play as many minutes as possible. But at the end of the day, you also have to respect the veterans you have on your team while trying to win games. And I think as we get deeper and deeper into this season, there is going to be more of a reliance on a guy like Keon and less of a reliance on some of the veterans when they're not having a good night. or when they're not doing the things you need them to do. And there is definitely a place, a time and a place for what DeMar DeRozan does, right? But on the defensive side of the ball, he's a pretty substantial liability. And you're just a better team defensively when Keon Ellis is on the court. And that's something that Doug is going to have to figure out the entire season. And some nights it won't be him. Some nights it'll be Keegan Murray, who's not getting it done. And you need to go with a smaller player. And I think Keegan did sit for a few minutes in the fourth. And certainly the game before that, it was Keon over Keegan for a few minutes. There's going to be times when Malik isn't rolling. And you've got to make adjustments. But I think Keon has put the pressure on this team to find ways to get him involved in the game. And, you know, I think that's a great thing for the Kings. It pushes everybody to be better. And if someone doesn't like it, then just straight up play better, you know, guard your man, do your defensive assignment, and Keon won't steal your minutes. But for right now, you know, he's going to steal your minutes. There'll be moments where Jake LaRavia steals some minutes.
He's going to steal some minutes.
Yeah,
legend.
There will be times where you lose out to some of these other players, and that's what a rotation is about. Like, you have your closing rotation, but your closing rotation should always come with, okay, who gives me the best opportunity to win tonight? And sometimes that's not going to be the guys that you've relied on throughout the first, you know, 50 games of the season where you're 500.
Yeah, and I thought the way that Doug played it on Saturday was interesting, and he did a great job with it. You know, there was a moment in there where, you know, CJ was going crazy and there just wasn't really any matchups for CJ outside of Keon. So he kept Keon in there, subbed DeMar out, and it probably was like a minute and a half later, you know, they had gotten a couple stops that they needed. They needed a bucket. And he calls the timeout and he subs them right back in there. So I thought that was a really good use of situational strategy by Doug Christie in the final minutes of that game on Saturday to kind of bring that win home.
Yeah, I'd also tell you that I think it became easier for Doug when it's not De'Aaron, because De'Aaron can play defense in those situations. So you're not going to take the two-way player off the court. Where I think it does become easier when it's either Zach or it's DeMar or it's Malik. None of those three can even come close to matching the defensive intensity of Keon Ellis, where, you know, De'Aaron can come close to it. He's not as good, but he could come close to the defensive side, and then you get a much better offensive player. So now I think it does open a door for, you know, a few more variables to play themselves out late in the game.
How you feel about tonight? Anthony Davis is out for the foreseeable future for Dallas. They're reeling emotionally and physically, and they got protests happening outside their arena. You know, poor Nico Harrison can't even show up for work right now. And here come the Sacramento Kings just trying to win a basketball game.
Yeah, I think they got a nice lift today when Kyrie Irving was named an NBA All-Star. So that's one thing. Sure. But overall, like, look, this is a game where the Kings should be looking at an injured, depleted roster. And even some of the guys that might play tonight, like a PJ Washington, has a rolled ankle and missed time. I think he left their last game with an ankle problem. Mm-hmm. You know, again, they're missing, you know, their stud backup center. Why am I drawing a blank?
Gafford.
No, Gafford's there. The other
Lively's gone.
Lively. Yeah. Yeah, Lively's out and probably out for the rest of the season. You know, they have some holes in the rotation. And so this is a team you need to go in there and try to take advantage of, especially if you have any hope of getting over 500 by the All-Star game. You know, again, teams cash it in right now. The Kings cannot cash it in. They dug themselves way too deep of a hole. And if they can come out of the All-Star break three games over five, go into the All-Star break and out of it at three games over 500 versus where they are today, that would be huge, because they have games that they can win right out of the All-Star break. They could start climbing up the standings very quickly. But, you know, you got to win the games right here in front of you before you get the getaway games.
James, and you can correct me if this is off a little bit, but shout out to Jill Adge. I saw her. She mentioned this, and this is actually a good point when we talk about the NBA and all this other stuff. When you talk about injury replacements, doesn't the commissioner, Adam Silver, doesn't he just go down the list? So it's not like he selected Kyrie Irving. It's the list of who was next getting the votes from the coaches.
Oh, I've never heard that. That might be the case, but I thought it was it's Adam Silver's discretion. He gets to make the ultimate decision.
I thought I had heard before that he, whatever the votes were on the list, he goes down to who's next on that list.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible he can do that, but he also has, I mean, he's a commissioner. He has the discretion to choose whoever he wants. You know, like injury replacements are on the commissioner, just like, you know, the original team is a combination of players and fans and all that stuff. And then the next vote, whoever gets in next, is all about the coaches. Mm. Yeah, this is a Adam Silver decision, and it is what it is.
It sucks is what it is.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah, I just think it's bad form, like, to be honest with you. Like, Domantas Sabonis is a very good player on a team that's in a playoff hunt, just like the rest of the teams all around him. And, you know, so I don't know. He should be an all-star. His numbers say he's an all-star. He'll be all-NBA, but not an all-star. And that, to me, is a complete failure on the coaches / you know, whatever it is at this point, whether it's Adam Silver or whoever else. Like, the dude is an all-star, and he brings his game every single night, leads the league in rebounding, leads the league in offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, total rebounds, and is in the top five in 3-point percentage. You know, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it is, man. He deserves better. He deserves better. But hopefully he can go out there and play well tonight. I mean, he certainly played well on Saturday. That's kind of one of the lost things in all of this is, you know, the amount of shot attempts that DeMar took, Malik missing, them, those guys being in and out of the lineup in favor for Keon. Lost is the fact that you guys mentioned it. Keegan played really well the other night, but Domas was great. He just continues to consistently be really, really good for the Sacramento Kings, and they're going to need him to be great tonight.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, he's one of the top 10, 15 players in the league. Yeah. And, you know, again, the Kings have relied on him so heavily, and they need to rely on him even more right now as they're learning how to play together. They need to rely on him to make the right plays and to play through him more than they have so far. And I think it would make everything way easier. Like, he needs to be the guy who's literally distributing who's going to get how many shots. And that's how I would handle it. I mean, there's a guy who averaged eight assists a game last year. Let him make most of the decisions and play from there.
I chuckle a little bit, Ham, because you mentioned, and you're right, we talked about it as well. They got to win these games. They can't coast into the All-Star break. Like, you got to, man, dare I say, you got to find a way to go 3-0 in these next three games. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. Every game matters, and that's just life as the Sacramento Kings right now, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good stuff. Look at the game against the Pelicans. They gave up a 40-point performance, a 30-point performance, and a 20-point performance. 91-92 points between three guys, and they still won. Hmm. Like, go out there. This Dallas team should not be able to beat you and the way that they're constructed, the way they're beat up. So, we'll see.
Great stuff from James, as always. You can catch more of James and Kyle on the Insiders beginning at 10 a.m. And hopefully we're talking about a Kings victory tomorrow, man. Hopefully. We can get a little momentum built headed into this All-Star break. We had a nice little boost of momentum from the Sacramento Kings when Del Christie took over as the head coach. Let's see if they can take that same type of energy now that the Jake LaRavia era has begun here in Sacramento. Appreciate you so much for being with us. You want to continue to ride, head over to 102.5, man. We'll be over there giving away tickets to see Tyler the Creator at the Golden One Center on February 23rd. If not, we'll see you back here beginning at 10 a.m. tomorrow with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, light the beam.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.